Good morning. How's everyone? All right. Before we get started, I'd like you to join me in a word of prayer. So, Father, I come before you with great thankfulness and great joy in my heart for the day that you've given to us. Father, I ask that your blessings continue to abound upon each of our lives, that we can be your sons and daughters with great love and care for you, Father, that our praise can be upon our lips to you, that our hearts and lives can reflect the love that you have for us, God, and that we can manifest it one to another, that our fellowship can be sweet with your love manifesting to all. Father, I thank you for this day, and I ask that you help each of us to receive your word, and that we can do your word this day, God. I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, if you turn to Matthew chapter 20, and while you're doing that, if you're good at multitasking, show of hands, how many of you are familiar with the show Survivor? Or at least have heard of it. Okay, so you may be scratching your head. Why are we going to be talking about Survivor? Well, hopefully it will make sense, because it does to me. But I want to start out with an analogy. The title of my teaching is Survivor or Servant? The Self-Sacrifice of Service. At the start of the game of Survivor, and first off, I want to make a disclaimer here. I'm not an expert at the game, so I may not have some of my facts correct, but you know, please forgive me for that. But the game starts out with a bunch of seemingly good-intentioned people competing for a $1 million prize. The game consists of various types of physical and mental challenges. Alliances form and change depending upon the dynamics of the game and the manipulation of the producers, and the person who gets immunity is safe for that night's tribal council. Although this is called a game by those participating in it, from my point of view, it's really an experiment using humans to prove what Paul says in Romans chapter 7, verse 18, which is, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but to do that which is good is not." So keep thinking about that verse as I go through the progression of the game. So as the game progresses, lying and preying upon the weak and the naive are rewarded with various prizes. And the underlying principle here in the game, and this is really what I want you to get, is humanity. This is how humanity acts with a knowledge and a love and a purpose for God. Now, I recall one of the episodes where there was this Oriental guy getting close to the end, you know, the big prize. And there was also this other guy who came from a poor upbringing. And the Oriental guy wins a car or a truck or something. I think it was a truck as part of the game. And the Oriental guy decides that, you know, he's going to work, you know, this thing to his favor. And he works out a deal with this other guy to give him the truck so that those two guys can go into the final kind of thing at the end. You know, because you want to get to the final two, I guess. So he makes this deal with this guy. The guy who's getting the truck, and this is the thing that really stuck in my mind, the guy who's getting the truck makes a big deal about making a commitment. You know, he basically swears on his son's life or had something to do with his young son that, you know, "I promise you, you know, Mr. Oriental Man, that, you know, I'm going to stand with you as we go through this, and thank you very much for this truck." They get to that night, and guess what happens? The Oriental guy is gone. They vote him out. You know, this man was willing to, you know, present, you know, this lie before, you know, everybody watching Survivor, and using his son as the, you know, the tie to prove that he was telling the truth. is this how we want to serve each other so that we can get by any means necessary? Humanity is driven by giving to me. This is what I need. And Survivor, in my mind, is a great example of what humanity does when left on our, well, all of us, when left of our own devices. By the end of the show, it's down to two people. And you know, these two are probably the best manipulators and liars of that group, right? You know, they survived to this final two. And this is the really intriguing part. Their goal is to convince the jury, which is comprised of some of the previous contestants, that they deserve the $1 million prize. So you got this group of 8 or 10 people, you know, whatever the jury is, and these two, and you know, these group of people were, you know, wheeling and dealing amongst themselves, and these are the 10 losers that aren't going to get the $1 million, and you're supposed to convince them that you deserve the $1 million, right? You know, do you get the sense here? Okay, so I find this pretty ironic that, and this is really the intriguing part to me, the jury actually picks one of the two people as deserving of the $1 million. They go through this thing about, you know, why I deserve the $1 million. They're trying to convince the other people that they deserve it. Going through all this, it's interesting. Now, I heard with this last show that the winner of this last show, one of the things that she said was one of her assets, one of her most important skills is she was able to flirt. She's good at flirting. And get this, she's good at flirting with both men and women. And she treated this as her greatest skill. And she was telling this to the jury, that the reason I'm here is because I'm able to manipulate each of you, whether you're male or female. And the jury still gave her the $1 million. That's humanity. Is this how we want to serve each other? I grant you that this seems to be an extreme example of the depravity of man, but I submit to you that this is an extremely fair and accurate representation of how we may serve each other when there is something extremely valuable on the line, in this case, $1 million. Without God's instruction, this is where we go, to simply surviving. So let's take a look at what God says. So unlike Survivor Service, which is the goal, where the goal is to get as much as you can, regardless of anyone else, the goal of Christian service isn't about what we are going to get, but rather what God has already given. He's already provided everything that we need. It's not about the getting. God expects us now to be about the giving. So let's go to Matthew chapter 20. I'd like to begin in verse 1. I think it's a great analogy of what Christian service is all about. Verse 1, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. When he had agreed with the laborers for denarius for the day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And to those he said, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, I will give you.' And so they went." Now, Sam did this to me. You know, I was there on Thursday evening, you know, expecting my Darius. And then other guys came on Friday, and then a bunch of people came on Saturday. And I'm thinking, okay, why am I here again? Again, he went out about the sixth and the ninth hour and did the same thing. And about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing around. And he said to them, 'Why have you been standing here all day long?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' He said to them, 'You go into the vineyard too.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the laborers and pay the laborers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last group to the first. And And those hired about the 11th hour came, each one received a denarius. When those hired first came, they thought that they would receive more, but each of them also received a denarius. And when they received it, they grumbled as the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden and the scorching heat of the day. But he answered and said to the one of them, friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go. But I wish to give to the last man the same as to you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with what is my own? And here's really the key to this whole section. Or is your eye envious because I am generous? So the last shall be first, and the first last. When we go into service thinking that, you know, God owes us something, we're going to be very disappointed. You know, we're going to be that second to the last guy in Survivor. You know, so close. You know, I deserve so much. And, you know, think about the disappointment of those folks. We don't want to be that way. Please go to Matthew chapter 16. And verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whosoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and will then repay every man according to his deeds. Truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Whosoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Verse 27 is a quote from Psalm 62:12, which I just read. He will repay every man according to his deeds. Service is not about the getting. God has already given. What this is talking about is not that we get more because we're serving. It's actually talking, when you understand Christian service, this is actually talking about what you're going to miss out on by having a survivor mentality. Turn to Romans chapter 1, and here's the proof. This is our standard for how we serve. Sorry, Dave. In Romans chapter 12, in verse 1, therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your what? Spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each man a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of faith. If service, in his serving. Or he who is who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, and it goes on and talks about the functioning of our family. And if you've ever been on a job like yesterday, you see that in a very big way. When you get 40 people together, and it's approximately how many we had from this church, and with teens on the ground doing their thing, and some of the teens up on the roof, and you know, 40 men and women, if they're not doing and serving for the Lord, you have confusion, you have a big whole mess. You have people that want to do this thing this way, and you have people that want to do that thing that way, and it just becomes a very bad situation. But yesterday, for those of you who were there, you know what I'm talking about. You know, those of us that have done different group activities where we're serving the Lord, you see the love of God in manifestation. You see how the body can move together, because it's not about what I'm getting. It's about what God has already given, and it's about my ability to give, which He has given me to give. And that's the purpose. That's the blessing of the family that we're a part of. We all have something to give. Yeah, I was so thankful when Jim Allen came up, and he's you know, having shingles over his shoulder, because I wasn't going to do that anymore. I still wanted to work, but I just pooped out, and he said, you know, Tom, let me do this for you. Amen to that, brother. Yeah, that's the functioning of the body that it's talking about here. But God wants us to present our bodies a living and holy sacrifice to Him. You know, service, giving, isn't about the monetary thing. It doesn't have to be about the monetary thing. It doesn't have to be about you know, financial obligations and you know, being a teacher or being an apostle. It's really about the giving. Each of us, God has given us things to give to His family and to this world. And my hope is that we'll see this today through the scriptures, that we are valuable in His eyes, that He expects us, to each of us, to be living and holy servants. So if you go to James chapter 2, Hebrews and James, we're going to pick up in verse 14. What use is it then, my brethren, if someone says that he has faith but has no works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is without clothing and is in need of daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give him what is necessary to their body, what use is it? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. But someone may well say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without the works, and I will show you my faith by my works. It's in the doing. And this is not in opposition to other scriptures that talk about intercessory prayer and those things, because that's still in the doing. You know, if you just think about prayer, you know, that's not faith. You know, if you just think about, boy, it'd be great if I could, you know, go out there and help pick up some shingles, that's not faith. It's in the doing. You know, James is very clear about this, that it's in the doing. It's what God has given us, He has enabled us to do, and each of us is capable of doing something for Him. Philippians chapter 2, please. Oh, and in James here, I forgot to mention, but this is in the context of serving all of mankind, which is a great context as far as faith goes. Okay, Philippians 2, we're going to pick up in verse 14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. And that was a challenge for me about just after lunchtime yesterday. I was sitting on the roof thinking, man, how am I going to continue to go? But God found a way, and I was able to get all dirty with cutting a ridge vent. If you ever done that, someone asks you to do it, look around and see if there's anybody else that's more capable. Trust me. I knew I was in trouble when... Is Jason here? Yeah, there he is. Jason's been on plenty of roofs. And I looked up to him and I said, Jason, do you want to cut this ridge vent? He said, brother, no, I don't want to do that. So I go scooting down with the saw, and I now have wisdom about ridge vents. All right, so we're in Philippians 2:14. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, so that you will prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God, above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory, because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice and share my joy with you all. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy for me. You know, think about Paul and his life and all the trials and the tribulations that he went through in service to God. And here he's asking, I want you to be a part of that joy. That was his mindset. That was his thinking, that service to God was joyful to him. It wasn't about the getting. Because if it was, you know, after the second time of being killed, you know, I'm probably out. You know, I'm not getting to number three if my attitude is, you know, what are you giving me? Stones over the head? That ain't working for me. And that's where Paul was with his life. He saw it as joy, and verse 18 is really key to this for me. You too, I urge you, rejoice in the same way and share your joy with me. It's a family. It's the full sharing of all that God has given to each of us. Please turn to Matthew chapter 19. So now you're probably scratching your head. Well, there's no way I can be up on a roof, and I'm definitely not going to be cutting ridge vent after what Tom just said. Well, this will help you get through the day. In Matthew 19, we're going to begin in verse 16. This certainly got me through. And someone came to him and said, Teacher, this being Jesus, someone coming to Jesus, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life? And he said to him, Why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good, but if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. Then he said to him, Which ones? And Jesus said, You shall not commit murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Sound familiar? The young man said to him, All these things I have kept, what am I still lacking? Jesus said to him, If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he is one who owned much property. And Jesus said to his disciples, Truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. When the disciples heard this, they were very astonished and said, Then who can be saved? I mean, these guys are doing great. Yeah, I think they got it all together. If they can't make it, how am I going to make it? Verse 26, And looking at them, Jesus said to them, With people this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. When we serve, when we have the right attitude, when we understand that it's not about being survivors, that it's being about givers, being God's servants, we're going to get this. We're going to understand that regardless of the situation, all things are possible. Because it's not about what I'm getting. It's about what I'm giving. And God's going to make a way. God's going to make it available. You know, this is nothing to do about being rich or poor, about being educated or undereducated. You know, when those folks were on the roof with me yesterday, I wasn't, you know, looking at resumes. I was looking for someone to carry bundles, someone to give me a hand when I'm laying shingle, someone that I can hand a hammer to. You know, it's the full sharing. God makes a way. And yesterday felt, in many regards, that it wasn't possible. We're at lunch. I'll give you one of my last analogies about the workday yesterday. We're at lunch, and Sean's not here, but some of the young guys, rah, 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 we want to do this other roof. Thank God for Sam's wisdom, because we're there, and some of us are blown out and tired, and, our heads are hitting the table. Well, many of us were. And, these guys, a lot of energy. We can do this. We can do this. And Sam said, no, we're not going to do this. It was fun to see the interaction between Sam and Sean, because Sean saw the goal. He really wanted to get it done. He wanted to give. But Sam knew that if we were going to take the shingles off and get to the roof, we needed to commit to getting it done. And in order to do that, it was going to turn from a blessing into a very bad day. Because the fact of the matter, the truth of the matter is, we still had plenty to give. Those ridge vents that I was talking about, we didn't get to those until about 2 in the afternoon. And many of the guys were just finishing up, and gals were finishing up on all the other stuff that we had to complete. And there's the picking up of the tools and everything else. So there's also wisdom and understanding that we need to have. And, the thing that Sam brought yesterday was the wisdom to know that this is what we could do. This is how we can give. This is how we can serve. And it was a great blessing when we were able to accomplish that and not say, well, Pastor Chris, we're sorry that we left your roof exposed, but, we're all dead tired and we can't get to this. So it was just phenomenal to see how the body can work together to bring about God's purposes. Okay, where are we? Where do I leave off? Matthew 18. Okay, 19:16. Go to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13:16 says, "And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is pleased." So if you had any doubt in your mind about this whole Romans thing with being a living sacrifice, I think this succinctly says it. "And do not neglect doing good and sharing, for with such sacrifices God is what? He's well pleased." In Proverbs 22, verse 9, the beginning part of it, it says, "He who is generous will be blessed." And it's in the context of sharing. And in Proverbs 28:22, it says, "A man with an evil eye hastens after wealth." Think about that. Remember this survivor servant? I don't think we want to be survivor servants. Turn to 1 John chapter 3, please. 1 John chapter 3, we're going to read verse 17. "But whosoever has the world's goods and sees his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and in truth." And the way I would summarize this is, let's get busy in doing it. What's getting in the way of us being living sacrifices? You know, as we saw in James, you know, faith without works is dead. It's in the doing that we see faith in what God means it to be. Turn to 1 Timothy, a couple books back, chapter 6. First Timothy 6, we're going to be beginning in verse 9. And although this is in the context of you know, someone who has oversight is leading something, I think it's applicable to all of us. Because as we're serving, as we're doing the will of God, as we're doing the things that He would have us to do, you know, we're leading. You know, we're being His spokesman. We're being his man and his woman that he's called us to be. So in 1 Timothy 6, beginning in verse 9, "But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction." Just one more survivor analogy. One of the guys that won the $1 million, he didn't pay any taxes on that money. Right? You guys familiar with that? I mean, it's a national, or probably by now, you know, a world-renowned show. You know, so everybody knows he has $1 million, and he doesn't pay his taxes. This is where humanity goes, when you're expecting to get rather than to give. So verse 9 again, "But those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a snare and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil." Doesn't say all evil, but just all sorts of evil. "And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." And there's plenty of other humanity things that get in the way of this. It's not just about money. Verse 11, "But flee from these things, you man of God, and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, perseverance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called, and you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and to Christ Jesus, who testified the good confession before Pontius Pilate, that you keep the commandment without stain or reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which will bring about at the proper time. For who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in unapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see. To him be glory and eternal dominion. Amen. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Instruct them to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed." This is in total and distinct opposition to how the world operates. You know, when I work in a corporation, you know, the corporation isn't expecting to, you know, be giving all these things, and you know, that's their motivation. You know, the motivation of the corporation is to get. You know, the world is structured to get. We got to understand that the things of God. You know, if you want to, here's a simple way I look at things. If something's very popular in the world, that usually means to me it's opposite of what God is saying. You know, and think about that. Think about different things that are very popular in the world. It's not about in the getting. It's about in the giving. God has already given us a light, you know, Him, that is unapproachable at this present time. You know, think about Moses, where he couldn't even look upon God. And when he came off the mount, he was so enlivened and so enlightened by God that he had put a veil over his face. He was so blessed. He was shining. Think about that. That's where God wants us to be with our service. Flip back to Proverbs chapter 3, please. You know, if we have food, we have covering, we just read that we are to be content. Proverbs 3, we're going to begin in verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, and let your heart keep my commandments. Why? For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good repute in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and what? Refreshment to your bones. You know, it's kind of strange to say, but all the toil of service, you know, the physical and the mental and everything else that goes with it, it's refreshing. You know, to serve God and to do His will actually refreshes a soul. You know, when we're working for the man, as they say, you know, when we're doing the things of the world and doing the things to get, you know, we're tired. You know, it takes us out. But service to God actually refreshes us. And we need to rely and have confidence in the Word of God that it's true, it's faithful. It really does come to pass. And as we have faith, like we read about in James, we understand the Word of God, and we do the Word of God. That's when we get refreshed. Turn back to Philippians, please, chapter 4. And this was a section of scripture that I was quoting when I was doing that ridge vent. Okay, Philippians 4, we're going to begin in verse 4. This part I wasn't. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I was doing that. And the peace of God, which encompasses all comprehension, will guard your heart and your minds in Christ Jesus. And finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, whatsoever is honorable, whatsoever is right, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is of good repute, if there is any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. The things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatsoever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means, and I know how to live in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. And here's the verse. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Nevertheless, you have done well to share with me your affliction. Christ, through His sacrifice, through His faith, understanding the Scriptures and in the doing, has made it available to us through Him that we can do all things. that God will strengthen us to be His servants. That we don't have to be survivors. That's not what God's children are about. It's about us being equipped, ready, willing, and able, and most importantly, having the power of God via Christ in us, that we can actually do this, that we can actually serve for Him, and there's going to be an accomplished work because God is accomplishing it. And then to close, I'd like to go to Matthew chapter 24. And verse 45, who then is the faithful and sensible slave whom his master put in charge of his household to give them their food at the proper time? Blessed is the slave, the servant, whom his master finds so doing when he comes. It's about the doing. God will direct us. God has already given us and equipped us. He has already given everything we need to do this. It's already there. It's not about the $1 million. We already have the $1 million and everything else that goes along with it. He's already given it to us. We saw in the scriptures that God honors the sacrifice of service. It's well-pleasing to Him that He expects us to be living sacrifices, to give of ourselves. Each of us has something to give to this world. So how about we get busy doing it? How about we get busy being Christian servants rather than surviving servants? All right? God bless you.